on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening to you, wherever you may be. Welcome along to another edition of the Orient Hour here from the Phoenix FM studios in Brentwood. And I've got a real life person in the studio tonight for a change, and it's Terry Howard. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, and just speak straight into that mic so they can all hear you.
Okay, good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Terry. That's better. I can hear you now. Yeah, so a good result for the O's on the weekend. We'll hear from Dave and Matt in a moment or two, but he's got off to a good start, hasn't he, Joby?
Very solid start. I mean, I think if you look at the points he's accumulated, that's sort of on par with promotion, you know, promotion standard. So, you know, I think, as I understand it, performances have been unspectacular, but, you know, say solid.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose we'll discuss it later on after we've heard from Billy and the boys and what they think of things. But I suppose the test is when you start playing some of the teams above you.
Yeah, of course it is. But I say, Joey can't do much more than what he's done so far. And I listened to him speak, spoke very well, seems to have a clear idea of what he wants to do. And more importantly, seems to be getting across to the players, you know, what he expects of them.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, just after the match, our commentary team of Dave Victor and Matt Hiscock, they had their views on events of the day.
Well, Matt, thanks for joining us. Three straight wins now for Joby Mackinnos men.
Yeah, magnificent for Joby and the players. It should give them real confidence now as we approach the business end of the season. A massive Easter weekend coming up, but three successive wins, two on the road. Confidence will be really high in the dressing room right now.
The target always was the playoffs. That was set by Kent Teague and Nigel Travis, a target that Joby never shied away from. And these victories means that the O's are just 4 points off that seventh place.
Yeah, they've still got a lot of work to do, a lot of hard games ahead. And of course, there are teams above them who do have that extra game in hand. But I think Joby Mackinnos, when he looks at the return he's got so far in terms of points, I know he mentioned earlier he's still frustrated around the draws at home to Stevenage and Scunthorpe. But overall, I don't think he'll have too many complaints. And the O's really are in with a shout. They're in the mix. They've just got to keep working hard.
Enough games now under Joby to see what is that style. What is the Joby Mackinnos way?
It felt to me like he just went back to basics when he first came in. A case of being resolute, better organised, fighting harder as a team. And you can see that in the clean sheets that the O's have kept. I think there's been four in total since he's come in as interim manager. But also on the road, when they have had opportunities, they've taken them. We saw that at Newport. We definitely saw that on Tuesday night at Carlisle. And this afternoon, again, the two goals, they came from defensive errors from the opposition. But the O's took them. They capitalised on it. And Conor Wilkinson and Dan Kemp did a wonderful job giving the O's those two goals.
A lot was expected of him. It was so difficult with games Saturday, Tuesday. Since that full week on the training ground, the side looks a lot more composed, don't they?
Yeah, I think every manager or coach will look to tell you that it's important to have that time on the training ground. At this stage of the season, there's not too much that the players are going to get in terms of fitness levels. They should be at peak right now. But sometimes it's the little things, working on set pieces, different ideas, how you're going to break a team down. We've definitely seen the formation change to a 4-2-3-1. And Joby, he's got it working for them at the moment. But as I say, there's still a lot of work to do, a lot of games of football to be played. But you do feel next weekend is going to be a crucial one.
It will be, but under Joby McEnough, there are players that are definitely really enjoying their football, it would seem. Jamie Turley back in the heart of the defence. Cisse seems to be getting better and better with every game. There's real invention from Dan Kemp. It's an absolute joy to see the playmaker on the ball having so much freedom. And Connor Wilkinson at the moment, a man on fire.
Yeah, I think collectively, when you look at them, I know you've singled individuals out there, Dave, but collectively, I mean, there's been quite a few fundamental changes, hasn't there? If you look defensively, Joe Widdowson, Jamie Turley, Tunji Akinola, all playing games regularly now, and it's probably no surprise that we've kept clean sheets. I think there's been four in total since Joby came in. And then when you look at the midfield, Dan Kemp, he was certainly the man of the match this afternoon, always buzzing, always around, looking to make things happen, and again, could be a key player between now and the end of the season.
You were talking about the Easter period coming up. Is it going to be a good Friday for the O's up at Mansfield Town?
Well, we hope so. It'll be a different type of challenge. Field Mill, I think Mansfield recorded a decent draw this afternoon up on the Wirral up at Tranmere. So they'll have a little bit of confidence, will Nigel Clough's men. But I think you've got to go there looking to get the 3 points. At this stage of the season, the O's are still a little bit behind and the teams above have got games in hand. So they need to be winning games. They need to keep this winning momentum going. If they do that, you've got half a chance.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Matt.
Well, thanks, Dave. Thank you, Matt, for that. And they make some good points there, Terry.
Yeah, as I say, you can. I know it's an old saying, but Joby can only take each game that comes at the moment. He's very new to this job. He would be finding his feet. And listen, what helps, people won't mind too much if the performances are not particularly brilliant. While you're winning games, you know, it buys you a little bit of time. And as I say, you can't argue too much with the results at the moment.
No, you can't. Now, let's have a... Talking to Joby, let's hear what Joby had to say at the end of the match today, Victor.
Well, Joby, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. 3 straight wins.
Yeah, fantastic effort from everybody. The boys, the staff, just, again, it's a grind, you know, with the travelling we've done. And obviously the opposition we've played. They've been tough games, you know, and the boys have absolutely dragged everything out of themselves to get us those points at times, you know. Fantastic shift away to Newport in the first half in particular. You know, Carlisle was tough, you know, conditions were difficult and we had to grind it out, and you're going to have to do that on Tuesday nights away from home in this league. But good teams do that, you know. It's not always going to be pretty beautiful football, you know. You have to find a way to win, and that's probably the most pleasing thing for me, that we seem to have had a little mentality shift. And you know, we're happy to do that at times. And look, yes, we want to play, we want to get the ball down, we want to pass, but at this stage of the season it's about winning games. And you know, if you can't quite be that good enough with the ball, you've got to make sure that you're doing what you need to keep it out the back of the net. And again, defensively we've been fantastic, but that's not just the boys at the back, you know. That's Connor Wilkinson putting a shift in, Kempe, you know, Danny Johnson in terms of leading that line and really getting us on the front foot and pressing, obviously midfield as well. And all together we look really, again, what I wanted, hard to beat and solid.
Connor Wilkinson, it's 3 goals in as many games now, but he came off. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's just had a bit of a dead leg. Him and Cisse have been carrying knocks, and again, big credit to them, as with all the boys, you know, to get through the minutes and the games that they have. You know, Cisse suffered one going into Carlisle and did amazingly well to get through that. He was really touch and go going into the game, and again, with the short turnaround, with the travelling, it's not ideal. Connor again got a knock during that game, so we've been sort of nursing him through and you know, getting what we can out of him today. So big credit to them boys for getting themselves out there first and foremost and delivering performances, you know, when not quite at 100%. And again, you know, if you want to be successful, players have to be prepared to do that, and certainly everybody in there is willing to do that right now.
When you took charge, the target was the playoffs. 3 straight wins, it's only a 4-point gap now, Joby.
Yeah, again, I think it's important, you know, not to shy away from that target. I believed, you know, that we had to go for it. Listen, whether we get there or not, you know, results will tell and time will tell, but you have to have something to go for. You know, I think if you want to create an environment that is, you know, full of drive and demand on people, that we're certainly putting on the players and ourselves as a staff now, you know, to make sure that it's an environment where, you know, you are achieving or striving to achieve things. There has to be a target. There has to be. You know, we made it hard work in terms of probably those three results on the bounce, you know, Exeter and then the two home games that we were really disappointed with in terms of the results. But now what we've done is just given ourselves a shot at it, and that's what we wanted, you know, going into Easter. You know, a massive couple of games coming up now, and we just want to carry on the momentum and, you know, keep taking points.
And to achieve that target, it's so important to get it right here at the Brea Group Stadium, Brisbane Road. And this was your first victory as manager.
Yeah, we seem to have picked up a few on the road. And again, it's, I suppose, for us, as we found at times this year, teams are giving us respect. You know, they're coming here, they're camping in, and it is hard to break down. You know, you see it with some of the best teams in the world when teams come in and sit in. We've probably dominated the ball a lot more than we did today in those two home games that we played. We actually were over 60% possession. We just weren't doing enough with it. We weren't looking creative enough, threatening enough with the ball. And again, for me, at home, that was probably the biggest, most pleasing thing today. You know, boys in that area, they're taking their chances now. We're looking a bit more of a threat. It's an amazing thing, that confidence, once it starts getting in the veins of the boys. You know, things happen very quickly. So really delighted for them, because again, as a forward line, as a group of players in terms of on the pitch, we did ask for more for them. You know, that was probably the biggest thing when we came in, and we needed more, you know, because we know they've got the quality. And I certainly wouldn't ask anything of a player that he can't do, but we knew we had a little bit more than probably we were showing, and they've responded. And again, that's a fantastic thing, certainly for me to see from them, but they have a lot of credit as well for stepping up, and I need to keep going now.
Well done, Joby. Thank you very much.
Cheers,
thank you.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Joby. And just exactly what you were saying, he speaks extremely well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Listen, we had a similar sort of thing, obviously, when I was playing, when Peter Eustace left the club and John Sitton and Chris Turner came in. And it's not an easy thing when you've been teammates to separate yourself from that. You know, you've got to take a slightly better step back a bit to look at it. And when Joby speaks, he said that's one of the things he's done is make sure they know that he's the governor. Not obviously not put his foot down as such, but you know, there is a different relationship now with him and the players, and if they understand that, that will help. So it seems like he's got the players on board.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the advantage he has, he's played at a higher level than any of them, so that's really got to count for a lot, hasn't it? Because he's talking from experience that they've never had.
Exactly. There's not a player there that's played at a higher level than Joby, so immediately he has that respect, you know, which it does help. You know, if you're a player and you believe in what the manager tells you, that's a massive plus for a manager. I know it sounds like an obvious thing, but the many times you could be a player, and if you don't buy into what the manager's saying, you know, it does make it difficult, but listening to him and listening to the players, they seem like a tight unit at the moment, which is very important.
Indeed. Right, we'll have a chat later on, Terry. And in the meantime, as you know, we're under these restrictions for the next few weeks. It should be sometime in April we can all return to some sort of normal here in the studio and have two or three people in the studio with me. But at the moment, we've had to, as you know, circumnavigate these things. And thanks to the wonders of Zoom and our help from Billy Herring, who's been a wonderful help to me over the last few weeks by getting these Zoom calls sorted out. Bill's been in touch with Darren Lee and Jamie, and they had a chat last night about the current events. And here is the result of that, their Zoom call last night.
Andy in the studio. So I'm Billy Herring. I'm here with Lee Boyce, Darren Burrows, Jamie Stripe. Orient win 2-1 at Oldham, three wins on the bounce. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we have Brophy coming in for Joby. Was that the correct decision? Lee, I'm handing over to you first of all.
Yeah, I think it was, Bill. Yeah, I think Brophy needed to come straight back in the side, even in a more advanced role. And Joby needed to go back on the sideline to manage the team, which I think he needs to be where he needs to be now. Brophy's like an automatic pick, whether it's left back or further forward.
I mean, I thought it was interesting the fact that, you know, all of a sudden we've got people discussing about whether we should have Joe Widdowson in the team, Brophy in the team, Dan Kemp in the team, and then suddenly in the team we've got all three. So that left-hand side now looking really strong. Jamie, you noticed that you sort of said the formation was sort of a 4-3-2-1, you felt.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a break from what we've had lately. And I think it worked for us. I like the fact that Brophy was pushed a bit further on up. I think Kemp playing a little bit more inside, I think works for us. And I think Kemp's just become such a massive, massive part of our game now. He's really, really become a big player for us since he's got a run in the team. So I think we look quite strong. And I also thought Cissé improved, he's improving. And I thought Clay, he had quite a dynamic game on Saturday. So I like that formation. I think we should try and go forward with it from this point onwards.
Darren, do you think the introduction of a Brophy kind of playing in that three almost freed up Kemp in a way? Because it meant he didn't have to hug the touchline as wide, which meant he could come inside, he could find space in between the lines because he knows that Brophy will overlap and give that width where required.
I think as well as doing that, yes, it did, to answer your question, I think it did give Kemp... Kemp, I agree, he's grown into the club brilliantly, isn't he? He's every game we've seen a bit more from him. What I do think as well with playing Brophy in that advanced position, he worries defence, doesn't he? So yeah, they're going to double up on someone like Brophy, which gives someone like Kemp more room to play in. So I think he can play a left back. I've always thought that. I wasn't one of those who didn't think he couldn't, but I am with Lee. He is a good forward player. Let's get him further forward when we can. And we do like to see him in that position. And go back to your other question. It was the right decision with Brophy and Joby because we won the game.
Fair enough, isn't it? Yeah. Do you think Joby deserves credit for not pushing Brophy into the left wing position, for playing him more in the midfield?
Well, I don't know about credit. I think Brophy is one of them players who on the left, if he finds space, he's going to run at players. And the others just said, the formation he played where Kemp was spare or like sort of had a free role, which suits Kemp, gives Brophy that much more more room to move about. Like I said, I mean, I've always been where I prefer Brophy coming from deeper, like because he runs at players. It works well. It's working well at the moment, but I think that's the style of play we're playing rather than the actual players in them positions.
I think as well, that's the sort of playing Brophy in that position, it might not work against the top sides, but what we've got to look at is in the coming weeks, we're playing Mansfield and Walsall, who sit 19th and 20th. So it's the sort of thing potentially we utilise his pace breaking from midfield. It's that nice blend of he's 10 yards further forward than he would be playing if he was at left back. He's not being out and out marked by the fullback if he was playing left wing. So it's almost the best of both worlds, Jamie.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've got a couple of really big games this weekend, isn't it? I mean, to be quite honest, we need 4 points from Mansfield and Walsall minimum if we're going to keep in the hunt. And to have someone like Brophy in your armoury who can actually not only take players on but also can defend at pace. And I have to say that Brophy's engine is absolutely fantastic. I mean, that's one great asset, really. You can get up and down the pitch all day. So he's going to be a really big player for us in the coming weeks. But you're right, I mean, we'll have to see what happens when we come up against the likes of Cambridge and Cheltenham. That might be a little bit of a different kettle of fish, but at the moment, I'd like to see him play where he is now and hopefully open a few more defences up for us.
Aaron, the back four has been playing well, and obviously, you know, it seemed that on Saturday we kept the back four. Sam Ling now being fit, back on the bench. Do we think that he will come back into the team, or do you think Tunji keeps his place?
I think Tunji will keep his place. And interestingly, talking about Sam and Tunji, I actually thought that it wouldn't have been a bad move to have taken Tunji off and put Sam on, because I thought all their threat was coming down that side and Tunji was drifting into the centre-half position a little bit too much for my liking. And a lot of people get on Sam's back, but in that, I think he'd done a good job. I think he'd done a good job on Saturday just gone. But look, again, we won the game, didn't we? So keep with the winning team. Tunji didn't do anything wrong. I just felt that he's not his natural position and he drifted a bit for me, Bill.
Okay, well, let's go through the game itself then. So obviously it was a great start for the Orient with Wilco latching onto a misplaced back pass to put us up inside the first 10 minutes. What a finish. What a finish, by the way. Lee, can you teach that?
No, of course you can't. It's the power he got behind it. The keeper never even see it coming.
No.
Was it 4 yards in front of the keeper? He never even see it. But that's what Wilkinson brings, his accuracy and the way he can pull them shots off. No, you can't teach it, but it's natural. But he does it so well.
And Jamie, he's in a rich vein of form at the moment.
I think he is indeed in a rich vein of form. He had that slack spell, didn't he, around after Christmas. But he's played through it, hasn't he? He's worked hard. And I have to say, I think that Joby's demanding a bit more from his game altogether. I think the games I've seen under Joby, that Wilco just does a lot of covering. His covering work's really good. He's working a lot harder for the team. I think it's paying off for him. I mean, his finishing lately has been dynamic. I mean, the goal he did score, you know, as Lee said, absolutely, you can't coach that. He just absolutely levered it. No chance for the keeper.
I think, Jamie, as well, that's a good point you make about him sort of working harder, I suppose. You know, beforehand, he was happy to stay out wide and hold that wide position. But now, I think, as you mentioned, Joby expects him to get inside, get closer to Dan, to DJ out front. And, you know, maybe that is why he's scoring more goals. What do we think, Darren?
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed, and I'm sure we all have, that he's certainly playing slightly more central, I think is the best way of describing it. The goal at Carlisle, I think, epitomised where he was on the pitch when he received the ball. So, yeah, 100% I think Jarvis had a good effects on him. Certainly seems to have worked, whatever we said to him. And I think with DJ so out of sorts at the moment, which all strikers go through, he's still a good striker in my humble opinion, but I think we were relying on the likes of Wilco and Kemp a little bit more, and they're coming up, so it's a team game.
Do you think DJ had a better game on Saturday? He seemed more involved in the play. Darren, that's you.
Personally, I just think it's that classic, we keep hearing it about going off the backside, and it's true. And I think he's still making runs, I think he's still getting into positions. I think the formation we're playing, certainly against Oldham, he had more play, didn't he? And
yeah.
As for me, when a striker, it's not going for him, is he still getting the positions? Is he still working hard for the team? And he is. So I think it will come good, because I think he's a good player.
I mean, talking of that, getting in the positions, there was one point, I think it was the first half, where Brophy broke through and, you know, he was in the box and he had a 5-yard pass across to Danny Johnson, and he took the shot on instead. If I was Danny Johnson, I would have been ripping his head off there, because you're a striker, you're out of form, you haven't scored. It would have been an open goal if Brophy had squared it across to him, but he took the wrong option. Lee, what does DJ have to do to score?
Well, he needs a bit of luck. I mean, I think people are expecting too much from him, because DJ is one of them players who just gets in the box or around the box and scores goals. He doesn't do a lot else. He's not one of those who's going to sort of hold up play and charge back into midfield and help out. The last two games, he's had two cracking shots that the keeper saved. And beginning part of the season, they were flying into the top corner. So it is, like you said, and with Brophy, that one with Brophy as well, it pulls it back. Beginning of the season, they get pulled back, he turns them in. It is luck. Any striker, any goal scorer like that needs that bit of luck, that bit that goes for him. And he's not getting it at the moment. I don't think his work rate is going to change him scoring goals. He's personally in that position. He's still getting in them positions. And like I say, like Darren just said, one goes in off his bum, the old off the bum scenario. And his whole season changes again. He's often fine.
Do you think he's working too hard in a way? So he's trying to pick the ball up outside the box, round the box, run the channels and things. And so therefore he's maybe not getting in the positions he was at the start of the season, because he's trying to do everything else and make things happen rather than just being that fox in the box and let others be the supply line to him.
Yeah, I think he is getting in positions, Bill. Like I said, the ball's just not coming to him. Like sort of, and he's, like I say, he's getting him chances. He's creating that one chance, two chance a game. And it's not going in. Like I said, I think people expect too much out of his actual work, right? But his positions, I think he's still finding them.
Yeah, I agree with Lee on that. I think that you don't want him tearing around the pitch. You want him saving himself the right runs, making the right runs. I think sometimes, could he work a bit harder? Possibly, but I think that could be said of all of us in any walk of life.
Yeah.
So I think to judge, he's judged on goals. But let's be fair, before... not up till recently, he wasn't getting the service, was he?
Yeah.
He wasn't getting any service. So at least now he's getting a bit more service and he's getting in the positions to miss. It will change, I'm sure, because repeat myself, he's a good player.
As you say, he needs one to go in and then he'll go on another run, won't he? That's I think that's the way we all feel right now. And I think everyone's willing him to do that. I mean, I had a bet on him on Saturday to score two goals because I thought it's going to be this week, obviously. Bet responsibly, everyone, please. But you know what I mean? I just had a feeling, and obviously I was wrong. But there you go. So, Jamie, we went 2-0 up with Dan Kemp scoring another goal. So again, you know, Wilco and Kemp seem to be the people that are carrying us through while the goals aren't coming from other players, shall we say. He's been a hell of a find, Dan Kemp, hasn't he? What a signing.
Absolutely. And a devastating finish. I mean, he picked up on a loose ball, made a bit of space for himself and just buried it in the bottom corner. Absolutely fantastic goal from him. But you're right, Kemp and Wilco are like taking the fight. I agree that Johnson is, you know, is working hard and he'll get a goal at some point. I mean, he's getting closer and closer. And, you know, it's nice to have that sort of backup when your main point striker's not doing it. But I think there's more to Kemp's game than just the pretty stuff. I think you get a full 90 minutes out of him. I think that's the big difference between him and someone like JMD, who had all the skill, but after 60 minutes, he tends to fade. You wouldn't see him for the rest of the game. I think that Kemp's a 90-minute performer, and that's exactly what we need.
And what I like about Dan Kemp is, even though tackling's maybe not his forte, he's certainly not afraid to put his foot in, and he works really hard for the team. Lee, I know you're a big fan.
Yes, massive. Yeah, I mean, what you just said there, he's not got the strength to tackle, but or to do the dirty tackling, but he will put his foot in and he will track back and he will work hard. Like Jamie said, he is a 90-minute player. He's got the flair. Like I said from the start, he's one of them players, you give him the space, he can create, score, do anything, two-footed. We're very lucky to have got him on board. Sort of. I know we tried a couple of windows to get him in and it didn't materialise. So I think now he's definitely one for next season to be building a team around.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. 100% agree with that. 60 minutes comes then. Joby makes subs. He takes Cisse off and puts himself on. He takes Wilco off, puts Louis Dennis on. Now, listening to the post-match interview with Joby, he said both of those players, both Cisse and Wilkinson, have both picked up knocks in the previous game and were kind of carrying themselves through, so it was pre-planned. However, we conceded pretty much immediately that those subs were made. Was that the right decision to make those subs? You know, should Joby have brought himself on, or should he have left himself on the bench and maybe brought on? Obviously, someone like Sam Ling has played defensive midfield in the past. What do we think? Darren, coming across to yourself?
We won the game, so it was the right decision. I think it's what I've been saying a lot tonight. I'm never disappointed to see Joby on the pitch, if I'm honest, particularly when we're... I mean, let's be honest, we all probably were on tenderhooks on Saturday watching the game because Oldham were decent. They were coming at us. They looked like they could create and score. And when Joby came on, okay, we did concede. Oh, you're right, Bill. We can't take away from that. But you've got your real ultimate leader on the pitch. And what you've got is 800-odd games of experience of steadying a ship when it needs to be. So for me, it was the right decision because we won the game, Bill.
Lee, agree or disagree?
I think it's strange that it's a pre-planned decision to take. I mean, they were carrying Knox. They both had to play. I mean, obviously with Hector away as well. I think it's a bit of a strange thing to say, like, that they'd plan to do it. How do you know how the game's going to plan out to have that sort of decision already made? If they need to come off, like we said, we need them both, like, at the moment, like, sort of Hector's back, but there's nothing to say he ain't going to pick up an injury or something like that. So, we need them both fit. I don't think Joby's been playing as well as a lot of people say he has. He's bringing him on. He's got all that experience. You'd have thought he'd... I'll tell you what, I'd like to see Joby come on and sit deeper and just control the game from there. Well, he ain't got to run about so much. He's got, like, the sort of... The way Glenn Hoddle did back in the day, sort of thing, his later days at Chelsea.
Like that quarterback role.
Yeah. Just sit in there, use his experience, use his technique. So I think further forward, I think he's been struggling personally.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think his final ball's been poor, actually. I said a while ago that I wondered whether, when Hector was injured and then suspended, I wondered whether taking Cisse out and playing McAnuff in that holding role would be the way forward. He can pick a pass. We know he can pick a pass. But then he's got the full range of play in front of him and he can just sit and sweep round. Jamie, obviously Hector's back for the games on games of the weekend, obviously we've got a game on Friday. So Friday, everybody, by the way, don't think Saturday, it is Friday. Don't turn up on Saturday at 3 o'clock and wonder where the game is. Hegde's back for the games on Friday and Monday. Would you start him, or would you start with the same team that started on Saturday?
Knowing Joby, the way he goes about his business, I think he'll start with the same team. But it's great to have someone like Hector on the sidelines, because you know he can, he's quite capable of starting that game if it comes down to it. It all depends on Cisse's fitness. I'd have no qualms of throwing him in straight away. I know a lot of people rate him, and rightly so. So, yeah, I wouldn't be worried about starting him. But Joby is good at taking big gambles, isn't he? I mean, he backs himself with that double substitution on Saturday. And in the past, he's started people we wouldn't really expect to do. So he's doing something right, Joby, at the moment, isn't he?
Darren, would you start with Hector?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't change a winning team. I don't think that players like being dropped from a winning team. I think it sends a shiver down their spines. It sends, and not just theirs, the player, I think it the rest of the team. So I think confidence is important at any level, but particularly at League Two players. So no, that, no change for me.
No, Lee, coming across to you.
I think Hector should be one of the first names on the team sheet in a normal week. But like the other two have said, do you change a winning side? I don't think Cisse's been terrible. He's certainly been a lot better than he has been in what sort of previous months. So if they are fit, I think you've really got to stay with the same side. As I said, I'd definitely be looking at Hector moving into that role in the next game or two.
Yeah. I think what Cisse has been doing recently is moving the ball a bit quicker. We know he's got this language style, so it looks as though he's disinterested. But I don't always think that's necessarily the case. I think that's something that's a bit unfair. I think he lacks pace. So, you know, sometimes when he's trying to get back, you know, if he finds himself in the wrong position, then he just cannot recover quick enough. But I think that, you know, we've seen flashes in the past couple of games of the Cisse that we saw last season when we signed him, who was dominant in games, who joined us and was winning headers and was spraying passes left and right. I think we've seen flashes of that. Is he, Jamie, is he playing himself into form, do we think?
Yeah, quite possibly so. I think I agree with what you said. In the last few games, he has improved. But I think that might be the Joby influence. I mean, if you listen to his post-match interview on Saturday, there's a lot of phraseology like standards, responsibility, momentum being used all the time. And I think Joby is just demanding more from the players, and I think they're responding to that. And, you know, there is a shades of the Justin Edinburghs about his style, and he's carrying people along with him, and then that can only be a good thing for us.
So that's a big call there, Jamie. So are you comparing Joby to Justin?
Well, In so much that his style is, everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing now. There seems to be a game plan. Everyone's been told what their job is, and everyone seems to understand it. And I think they're warming to him, I have to say. I mean, I know there's lots of people, myself included, the jury's still out on whether we should get the job full time. And he's not making many mistakes lately, is he? He's either been very good or very lucky, but you know, you can't be good, be lucky.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, it's a big statement, Jamie. What do we think? Darren, Lee, what do we think? It's a big statement there.
I think Joby's his own man. I think he'll have learned from a lot of coaches, including Justin, over the years. I think his record now is pretty good start now. Well, no, very good start. So I think I do think that we've got to make a decision. The sooner the better, because there are players, we mentioned Hector quite a bit, in the last couple of minutes, and Hector's one where I'm with Lee. I definitely want him in the team at some point, and I want to build a team around him and Kemp next season. But we won't do that if we don't sign the lad, will we? And we won't sign the lad if we don't play the lad. So I am concerned about that, definitely. And I think what would help is a decision on Joby as our next manager for next season. That's how I feel.
Lee, what do you think? Do you think that Martin Ling is under pressure here as well, to, you know, with regards to contracts and what have you and stuff? Do you think Joby will have enough input in there to build his team, or do you think that there are influences within the club that are going to make those decisions for him? And if so, is that fair?
I don't think Joby's the right man for the job, but saying that, I think he should be given the job at the moment. Like, you know what I mean, I think the club's got to make a decision about a manager. Because otherwise, like we've just talked about, the contracts, they're going to drag on Joby's got to have a say. Like this, they talk about this transfer committee. I'm assuming Joby's now sort of taking his place in that committee. I don't understand. I mean, you talk about Martin Ling under pressure. I think he's under massive pressure. He's got to be under pressure because everything is slow. It's like there's no decisions made. I'm not talking about snap decisions, rash decisions. Joby's, what's he, six games in? And look like, is he the right man? I don't know. Like, I don't think so, but that's my opinion. But you've got to make a decision. You've either got to give him the job or give someone else the job and let them start building for next season or even like sort of push on for this season. But they've got to get these players signed down. Like Darren just said, Hector's not going to stay. Most of these players ain't going to stay unless they know there's a manager building for next season. So Martin Ling should be answerable for a lot of things, yeah.
Do you think they would stay if Joby was given the full-time job? Because, you know, I think, as Jamie said, it seems as though the players have got a lot of respect for him, you know, and maybe that would be the difference between them staying and not. If they know they're signing for a manager who's got faith in them, who's played alongside them, it might make the difference. What do we think?
Well, they know what they're getting. That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, the ones that are performing now, obviously, he must have got a reaction from them. And obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the summer. I should think that there's lots of options open. And maybe the rationale is waiting to see what division we're in. I mean, I think we've got a lot better chance of keeping our better players like Hector, like Brophy, like Wilco, like Lawrence Vigouroux, if we're, you know, at least if we're in League One. But if we're not in League One, they know who's going to be in charge for next season and they can make their decision based on that. But I fully agree with what Lee said. You know, we've got to, and Darren, we've got to make a decision sooner rather than later so everyone knows where we are, where we stand, and we can plan as early as possible.
Darren, coming across to yourself?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with the chaps on this, that the quicker the better. I'm slightly, perhaps a bit more Joby pro, but I think that's results-driven, if I'm brutally honest. I can understand, you know, where Lee's coming from, perhaps a more experienced manager. But at the moment, the guy can't do any more, really, than what he's done. Well, win the next two games is what he can do. But I think if we did win the next two games, I think they actually got to give him the job. And, of course, players want stability. Everyone wants stability in any situation. Footballers are no different. And knowing who the manager's going to be, good point Jamie's making. If we're in League One, of course, that gives us a chance. Maybe one or two of those, Jamie, might think that they're Championship players if we get up to League One with them in the team. Our players think. But no, what I do know is we do need to make some decisions quickly. I totally agree with Lee on that one. We can't drag our feet on this.
Well, fingers crossed, hopefully by the end of, I say the end of the month, it's the end of the month, you know, now. But hopefully soon they make those decisions because, yeah, I'm in 100% agreement with you, chaps. Without a manager in place, I don't see how we, A, keep any players. I also don't see how we attract any either. And I think now is the right time to go because it does give us that time then to assess the squad, whoever it is, whether it be Joby or anyone else. It gives them time to assess the squad, separate the wheat from the chaff, for want of a better phrase, and then start to plan for next year. So me personally, I'm very pro Joby. I think, you know, we've had this discussion on our different groups and we've all got different opinions on it, which is fantastic. I would be really excited to see who he could attract to the club with the experience and the clubs that he's played with and the contacts that he must have in the game. That's one of the things that excites me about a potential of Joby taking charge. But then having said that, I'll be pro whoever is in charge. So if it's not Joby and if it's someone else, they'll have my full back in instead. So, but yeah, I'll back whoever is in charge. All right, couple of things then before we go. Next two games, as I mentioned earlier on, we play Mansfield, we play Walsall, who sit 19th and 20th respectively. We're now three wins in a row, we're in ninth position and we find ourselves 4 points from the playoffs. Is it too early to say we've got a chance? Jamie, I know you're already booking the bus for the playoffs. So I'm first.
Yeah, well, maybe I was booking the bus, but then I looked at our running fixtures and I thought better of it, really. I've got to say, like I said earlier, we need at least 4 points for the next two games, and then anything can happen in the running. You know, they are tricky. I mean, Cambridge, Cheltenham, they're good sides. Barrow and Southend are going to be scrapping for their lives. Carlisle and Salford, they still think they're going to edge the playoffs at some point, so it won't be easy. I'd like to think we might sneak in, but only if we get 4 points on over the weekend. Anything less than that, I think it just might be a bit beyond us.
Lee, what do you think?
1-1 I took when Joby took over for us to get in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm having it all day long, right? You know what I mean? I think we will get in the playoffs. I don't think we'll win it, nowhere near. But, yeah, I think we will. I think we've got a little bit of momentum. We're playing that direct style now. So I think, yeah, we will carry that on and sneak into the playoffs.
Aaron, are you as positive? I see you looking, shaking your head, going, no. Go on.
Sorry, chaps. To be the... No, I don't see it. I think we are playing better and we are on a bit of momentum. I agree with Lee on that one, but I don't think we're good. I think we've got too much to do. I think the running's going to be too hard. I can't see it, guys. I'm sorry to say. I think we need 6 points, Jamie, out of the next two games, not four, because of that running. And, you know, when have Orient won 5 games on a spin in our lives very often?
Yeah. Well, under Russell Slade, we won 7, so I...
Wasn't it more than that? Wasn't it 9 or 11?
I think you got to eight.
I know the record breaker or the best run, we were at Hartlepool away and we won there on a Tuesday night under Slade. You're quite right, but how long ago was that? That's the point.
Yeah. What did we start the season with? Didn't we start the season with 4 or 5 wins?
I think we did once, Lee. Yeah, not that long ago.
This season.
Sorry, this season.
The jaws thrown in, didn't we?
Yeah. I think we had
draws this season.
Yeah,
did we?
Because we didn't win at home for a while, Lee, did we? From memory,
We played cup games, didn't we? This season, like early doors,
drew
like
Mansfield, didn't we? Drew early doors in Mansfield 2-2. I think that was an early one. The start of this season and the end of last season
kind of blends into one, doesn't it? With the whole lockdown thing.
Up until the Cheltenham game, I thought we were. I might be wrong. I thought we had. I know we was definitely unbeaten. I thought we had 4 or 5 wins there, but yeah, you might be right.
So, Darren, you've got an interesting theory about some of the players who've had a bit of a resurgence under Joby Mackenough.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Jamie Turley, how well he's played lately, which he has. And my sort of theory on Jamie at the moment is that, you know, when a player comes out of the team, it's often through injury, isn't it? With Jamie Turley, it's through suspension, and then it was through not getting his place back. He didn't really play much football up until recently. So I think he looks fit because he is fit. I think his resurgence is down to the fact that he's not played a lot of football. So we're now playing against tired players who are into their 30th or 36th game of the season. And I think that's given him an edge, fair play to him, if it earns him a contract next season. Not sure he'll get in above Freeman, but I'm not sure we'll have Hat at the club next season.
Thompson, not Freeman.
Thompson, apologies. Yeah,
it's all right. Right. Otherwise, I'll get pulled up on it. Be like, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Wrong players, wrong position.
No, you're right. Pull me up. I've got my Freemans and my Thompsons the wrong way round. We'll definitely have Thompson at the club, that's for sure.
Yes, we will. We will. And hopefully Dan Happy as well. But as you say, potentially if we do offer Turley a new deal, you've then got to look... There's a potential there to play a 3 at the back, possibly. Would you offer Turley a new deal, Darren?
No. I think for me, he's having a resurgence, but I think he's probably a player that I think we'll look to move on in the summer, if I'm honest. I think no disrespect, I think we can do better.
Lee, I think that a lot of us thought that Jamie Turley had played his last game for the Orient when he got sent off in the manner that he did in that game. I think a lot of us thought, well, that's him done. He won't play for the club again. But it has been a real resurgence, and fair play to him.
I think the style Joby's now playing suits Turley. It's more direct, more sort of get in, tackle him. Mm. Under Ross, it was more play out from the back, which suited Tunji and Dan Appy. Now it's like I said, this suits Turley down at the ground, and like Darren said, he's come back, he's refreshed, he's fit. Get in there, tackle, get the ball forward as quick as you can, and that is Turley's all over. Is that the sort of style? Is that the sort of player we're going to need going forward? Turley's not going to be one of the players who wants to sit on the in a squad to be a squad player. And if you're going up the leagues, I think that direct sort of just style is not going to be very effective. So it's hard to say. But like we say, at the moment, with the context like we were just saying, we could lose all our defenders and we might need to get people like Turley signed up. So we'll see.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because obviously he has played really well since he's come back in, but then over the course of the two seasons he's been with us and longer, would we think that has he done enough? Do you know what I mean? So, Jamie, do you think that his leadership qualities are something that we've we now come to rely upon where we've not got Joby McEnough in the team?
Yeah, if you're playing in defence, you need a back line leader, don't you? And I think with Akinola doing a lot of the running for him, I think that's perfect foils for each other. You just need that presence, don't you? I mean, in Orient teams of the past, we have people like John Sitton holding it together at Scarborough and places like that. So you need the presence when the going gets tough, especially when you're involved in a playoff running. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a pivotal part for us for the next couple of weeks.
I mean, talking to players who are playing a pivotal role, let's move on to some of the players who have started, got a bit of a fringe role who we think may well make an impact. I still firmly believe that Freeman will have a massive impact upon our running for the rest of this season. You know, I think that if we're playing this sort of this 4-3-3 or this 4-3-2-1 as it will be, I think playing him in a deeper role would absolutely suit him in the same way that it suited Brophy in there, rather than playing him as part of a three. Lee, you're nodding your head. What do you think?
I think Freeman's best game so far is when Hector's been playing and getting that ball forward quicker, like we were talking about earlier. I think Freeman looks dangerous and very mobile then. When Cisse's, like we said, played like sort of very negative and very sort of left and right,
yeah,
Freeman's not been in the game. And took a lot of criticism for that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think if we're getting that ball forward quicker, I think that'll benefit Freeman, and I think he'll have a big part to play.
Jamie?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think Freeman's been an absolute disaster signing for us, but in a lot of games he's looked busy, but again, struggles to make an impression, doesn't he? I think we're just looking for that one position to play him, and he can settle into it. I'm sure once, you know, if it come down to it, he wouldn't let anybody down, but I think Lee's right. You know, people like, you know, if Brophy is not playing or... and we can utilise him in that way.
Aaron, I read something on Twitter the other day where one Orient fan, I would name them, but I can't even remember who it is now if I'm truthful, said that when Freeman wasn't in the squad, said, good, now send him back to Wickham. Do you think that's fair, or is that a bit reactionary?
I can understand why that fan wrote that, if I'm honest. I don't think he's contributed nowhere near enough since he's been at the club. I don't think he'll be a miss, frankly. I would, with the way the situation we're in with the season, I want a player like Hector in there every day over Freeman, because I think we've got more chance of creating something. I don't think we've seen anything of the guy at all. I think whoever put the reel together of his great goals done brilliantly to find four or five goals, because I don't get the guy. I'm not having him. No.
No, not having him at all.
No, actually with that other fan.
Interesting, okay. I mean, I would say I think that obviously him and Hector are very different players. Obviously, Hector seems to prefer the deeper role, where his Freeman's more of an attacking player. Do you think they could play together?
I don't think Freeman's worth a place in the team, let alone, certainly not, you know, maybe on the bench with the situation with injuries. But
I want
someone like Hector in because of the forward attacking options he gives us. We've got to win games. If we're going to get in this playoffs, we've got to win games. And we're not at the moment. I don't see anything from Freeman that tells me he's going to be part of the winning team.
Do you think he offers us more than someone like James Dayton, for example?
I don't think either James Dayton or Freeman are the answer, Bill. I'm trying to not swerve your question.
No.
But I don't particularly want to see either of them on the pitch at the moment, because I don't think if they're on the pitch, they're going to do an awful lot. Brutally honest, no.
You're probably better off with Louis Dennis.
You know what? This is the next player I was going to bring up, actually, Louis Dennis. Obviously, I came on again on Saturday. He's another one who seems to be having a little bit of a resurgence under Joby. Lee, this is where you're shaking your head and looking at me going, nope. So I'm going to come across to you first.
I don't know if he's had a resurgence. He's got in the team, but listen, Louis Dennis is probably a player in there somewhere. There must have been. I think I heard some people liked him at Portsmouth, but in 2 years, I've seen absolutely nothing that warrants him being at the club. I don't say that like disrespectful to him, but no, he's not for me. No, not at all.
Jamie, go on.
No, I'm just going to say that, you know, I agree that with Lee, that over his like 2 year two-year stay here, he's not really done much at all to impress us. But again, it's just a fresh pair of legs to stick on when we need them, I suppose. And out of the three, if you're going Freeman, Dayton and Louis Dennis, I'd probably go for Louis Dennis at this moment in time.
I think what was interesting on Saturday, when we brought him on, we initially brought him on in sort of a 10 role in behind Tristan Abrahams and DJ up front, obviously. But when Kemp was out wide, when they switched and Kemp went into the 10 and Louis Dennis played a bit wider, that seemed to suit him more, coming in from those wide positions, because he's not great with his back to goal, but I think he is good and can create with the ball at his feet. So, Darren, is it that we're just not playing him in the right position? Do we think he could have an impact as a sub coming on, running at people? He's got skills, clearly. You know, there was a lovely little step over and go past. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're making a good point, Bill. I actually agree with that. I think you're right. His back-to-goal play is non-existent. I do agree with Lee. He's flattered to deceive in the 2 years he's been at the club. But I agree with Jamie that I still think he's a better option than Freeman and Dayton. And I think he did all right on Saturday when he came on, Bill. I think you're onto something there. I think playing him out in that position is something that... And let's face it, we need someone to come on and try and change a game at some point if we're going to achieve anything. And yeah, out of the three, he's my pick. I'm with Jamie on that one.
And I suppose the last player that I want to mention, obviously we don't really know fitness-wise whether he will be back until the end of the season, but Rule Sotiriou, do we think that Rule might well have a part to play in the run-in? Obviously, when he broke into the side, he did so towards the end of the season, where he scored a lot of goals. You know, again, you're playing against tired defenders who had a real hard season. Do you think that potentially, if he can get himself back fit in time and we do get into the playoffs, Rule Sotiriou is the sort of player that we could bring off the bench at Wembley and he might change the game potentially? Jamie?
Yeah, quite possibly. But obviously, we don't know how his fitness is going to stand up. But you'd obviously have him on the bench, you know, because most of the time our bench has been quite thin over the last few weeks. So anything that can boost that, you take it all day long. But yeah, he's definitely capable of scoring a goal out of nothing, and you know they're worth their weight in gold, them sort of strikers.
Lee, what do you think?
I think I've spent the whole season with Sotiriou going against everyone else's opinions. beginning part of the season, I didn't think he'd start at all. I didn't think he'd play much. In fact, I had a bet with someone, I think. But then I thought, when he was playing, I didn't actually think he was too bad. I thought he was learning a lot. His old game was getting better. And then it sort of come towards the Crawley game when he got injured. And I thought he was really starting to hit form. Like, DJ was injured. Angle was injured.
Yeah.
And I think he realised he had a chance then. And he really looked like he was going to start hitting form. Of course, that injury, I mean, you see how devastating he was when he came off, because he knew that was his opportunity. So, yeah, I think, coming back, I think he's going to be a... If we've got him back for the last four or five games, probably playoffs, it'll be a bonus to have on the bench, coming off the bench.
Darren, if you have a choice between a Sotiriou and Tristan Abrahams, who are you choosing?
Oh, great question, Bill. I would probably go with Rule Sotiriou still. I think Tristan... there's something there's something missing. I can't put my finger on it. But it's not clicking for the lad, in my humble opinion. Rule, when he gets the ball with his feet, he excites me. And I think he's a danger and a threat. So the answer is Rule.
Okay. Well, chaps, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. We'll hand back to Andy in the studio with Terry Howard. All the best. Take care, guys.
Well, thanks very much, Bill. Thanks very much, everybody, for taking part in that Zoom call for us. And some interesting stuff there. And it's what you were alluding to earlier with Joby. I don't think there's any rush to appoint him myself, Terry. I mean, they're saying about they should make a decision. My personal opinion would be wait until you've played a few teams above you to judge the situation perfectly. I don't see what the rush is, Terry, because... there's going to be so many footballers looking for work anyway at the end of the season. The fact that we've got a lot of players out of contract, I think, is pretty irrelevant, really, for me anyway. My opinion would be hold fire and let's see how we get on over the next 4 or 5 weeks. Nobody's going anywhere at the moment. I don't know what you think.
Well, if they've told him he's there till the end of the season, there's no pressure on from either party, really. I mean, as we said before, all he can do is take each game as it comes, at the moment win a game and move on, and that'll only strengthen his position. If that, I mean, listen, we don't know what Joby's agenda is. We don't know if he wants to stay on in management in football. I mean, the way he's talking at the moment, yeah, he's talking like a manager, isn't he?
Well, I think he holds the cards at the moment to his own destiny. You know, he's obviously got options, shall we say, as regards his future at the moment, and that's for him to decide what's best for him. But from the club's point of view, I don't see why they have to rush to a decision.
No, I mean, he's obviously very highly thought of by the powers that be. So, you know, yeah, I don't see what it would achieve by upsetting the apple cart. You know, I agree with you, and just let it be for now.
Well, I'm just going to change subject because Karen Harrison's obviously a great help to us behind the scenes on the Orient Hour. She does a lot of work for us to make sure the programme goes out, etc. And tomorrow, it's a big birthday for Karen. We wouldn't normally do birthday shout-outs on air, but it's the big 5-0 for Karen, and I hope she has a wonderful day. And on behalf of everybody to do with the show, well done and congratulations and have a great day, Karen. But there's one particular former player who would like to send a special birthday message to you, Karen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Karen. Happy birthday to you.
Hi, Karen. Craig Easton here. I'm sorry about the dodgy singing. But I just thought I'd wish you a happy birthday, have a fabulous day, and hopefully it won't be too long until you're back inside Brisbane Road cheering on the lads. They've had a few great results in recent weeks, and let's hope they can keep it going. But in the meantime, up the O's!
Well, that was Craig Easton, one of our 2006 promotion squad, and sending Karen his very best. And I said to Craig, I said, well, if the Bay City Rollers ever want a tribute act out there, he's your man, isn't he, with that voice?
Tell you what, it's a good job he could play football.
Oh, dearie, dearie me. Well, Terry, we're out of time, but thanks very much for popping in tonight. And I'd tell the people why you've been here all afternoon with me, because we recorded, I do a music show called The Golden Years on a Tuesday night for Phoenix, which is sort of 60s, 70s music, that sort of thing. But we did a Northern Soul special, didn't we?
We did. It's been a very, very long afternoon. I'm very tired. Good job on getting paid handsomely. Not,
yeah. Nobody gets paid here, mate. Never mind. But thanks. It's been an experience, that has. I enjoyed doing it.
Yep.
You taught me some new music, which was good.
Well, you're new to me too. Yeah, we learned a bit today, didn't we?
And talking of music, we'll leave you with this tune, and we'll see you all again next week. Take care, everyone.
Park. It's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. Till the end. If I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal. He got no swing.